What if the self-driving car revolution is an office park shuttle? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Everyone is very excited about autonomous cars, but with every day, they feel a little farther away. Waymo, Alphabet's self-driving car company, is still testing fully autonomous cars as taxis in the Phoenix area. Tesla is putting semi-autonomous features onto its own cars for consumers to buy. And some companies, like Boston-based Optimus Ride, are thinking the immediate future is a little more contained. The startup, which, yes, is named after the Transformer, is betting on low-speed vehicles that carry people around defined geographic areas. It is not the sexiest use of autonomous driving tech, but it might be more doable. Optimus Ride just started a contract giving people free rides around the Brooklyn Navy Yard, an industrial park in New York City. Marketplace tech producer Stephanie Hughes went to check it out.
Optimus Ride vehicles stick out. The black, six-passenger electric automobiles have the words self-driving in all capital letters on the back, kind of like when you see a student driver. And like student drivers, these vehicles still have teachers that ride along. Two human monitors are in the front seat, ready to jump in if needed. They direct the passengers as well.
Before we start, I just want to make sure everyone has their seatbelts in.
Me too, in the back.
Yeah, yes. Please, safety first.
Jamil Ezra is a tech investor. He's just coming from a meeting at a startup accelerator in the Navy Yard. He didn't know that self-driving shuttles would be there, but he wants to know everything about them.
Mr. Driver, do you know what technology are they using in the car?
It's laser scanners and cameras that the vehicle uses to sense things like pedestrians and other cars. Oh, and it won't go more than 15 miles per hour. That may be the reason passengers think they don't need seatbelts. In the front seat, one of the human minders holds a laptop. On the screen, there's something kind of like a heat map, where obstacles appear as the car is seeing them.
And then you'll see on the screen that that spotted that person. You see that orange object? And we'll probably see that bike in a second, too.
Ryan Chin is the CEO and co-founder of Optimus Ride. He says you'll see this kind of driverless tech on the street way before you can ride any kind of distance in a fully autonomous car.
A good example of that is if you're able to drive autonomously in Times Square in a snowstorm and drive all the way to Harvard Square in the Boston area. There's no car company in the world that can do that today, and it will likely take more than 10 years.
And Chin says there's a $500 billion market for autonomous shuttles in what he calls geofenced areas, like college campuses, office parks, and airports.
Let's test, validate the business model, develop, you know, the technology. And then as we get better, let's increase the complexity. Let's make the geofence larger. Let's increase the speed. Let's go to an area that's a little bit more urban.
But it's going to take some time for Optimus Ride to get rid of their human monitors. Missy Cummings is a professor of robotics at Duke University. She says machines can't yet see the world the way people do.
Once we've been taught what that red stop sign means, we can approximate, we can estimate. We know what it means, even if there's only parts of a stop sign showing.
Driverless cars, on the other hand, have a hard time improvising when conditions change.
They will follow the rules and only the rules that you tell them.
At the Navy Yard, the Optimus vehicles are really careful. At a four-way stop, there's an uncomfortably long pause before the vehicle accelerates.
We'll stop. We'll observe, you can see all of the cars that are coming into this intersection. And we are predicting what they're going to do.
By doing the same loop over and over again, CEO Ryan Chin says that Optimus vehicles will learn the rules really well. And like every good student driver, they'll eventually get more confident.
That's Marketplace Tech producer Stephanie Hughes. You can see pictures from her ride at marketplacetech.org. And now for some related links, which is a little more reading about how the cold reality of self-driving cars is starting to sink in. It's gonna take a lot longer than we thought. The tech might not actually be the panacea for everything from traffic to the environment to safety that we have been promised all along. And let's be honest, that's how all technology works. It comes out and it's a little slower, a little buggier, and has a lot more unintended consequences than we expected. I've got a bunch of links to articles on our website from the past few weeks saying basically the same thing. And I'm going to brag a little bit and say I wrote about this in January 2018. There's a link to that piece, too, on marketplacetech.org. Back then, I said the tech was still a little dodgy, The talent to build that tech was really hard to find. Lawsuits over intellectual property would start to proliferate, and the safety was still kind of an open question, let alone that we didn't know what driverless cars would really do to the economy or traffic or how they might interact with the millions of people-driven cars on the road. And all of that is still true. And actually, here's some interesting dish on the intellectual property part. Just in the last week, Apple and Tesla sued former employees for allegedly stealing self-driving tech secrets and taking them to Chinese competitors. And the biggest maker of LiDAR technology, Velodyne, sued two Chinese companies for allegedly stealing trade secrets as well. And that's just one of dozens of lawsuits over self-driving tech. You know that saying, we were promised jetpacks? Those might still get here sooner. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.